Hello and welcome to the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. With over 15,000 downloads since launch, we are excited to bring you Season 4 featuring in-depth content on business, global affairs and news across Singapore, ASEAN and the United Kingdom. We've had some extraordinary guests on our channel, including W Series driver Abby Eaton.
I've got thoughts for the future now. I'd love to try and kind of mentor some of the younger drivers, you know.
Renowned UK international education champion, Professor Sir Steve Smith.
Over about a four-year period, we kept increasing the resources going into mental health provision.
Chief Executive and Director of the London Design Museum, Tim Marlowe.
The way we design is actually thinking about the needs of everyone.
And CEO of the industry cluster group at JTC, Alvin Tan.
If you look at TDD, we are creating an ecosystem of companies, government agencies and industry associations in the digital space.
Thank you, as always, for your continued support, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Welcome to this edition of the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. I'm extremely lucky that within my role, I get to sit in on some of the business committees within our network, which really are the heartbeat of our chamber. They're made up of leaders in their field, and they act as the breadth and the depth of the knowledge and the information, the forecasting and the networking that support our wider business ecosystem. And I also get feedback quite a lot that we look after our smaller business community well. And I'm delighted today to have Steve MacArthur from our Startup Entrepreneur and Small Business Committee to join us. Steve is an exceptionally experienced global people leader and an extremely strong client partner manager. He's got vast industry experience and knowledge across banking, operations, HR, insurance broking, insurtech startups, and health and wellness. He is a flexible benefits expert. I'd probably say champion in this because he's been pushing us as a chamber to really look at this. And he's been hugely involved in designing schemes, designing benefit systems and sourcing opportunities for companies to offer programs for their employees more broadly. And this comes at a really pertinent time because as we've just released our business sentiment survey this year, the top three challenges that businesses face are attraction of talent, retention of talent, and the cost of doing business here in Singapore. So that attraction and retention of talent is something that we're going to draw into today. So join me today as we find out a little bit more about Steve and what he can do to support our workforces. What can we do to be greater employers and what options are out there, particularly for smaller businesses who don't necessarily have the scale to roll out employee benefit schemes. Steve, I hope that's done you some justice in the introduction and a very, very warm welcome. I'm really pleased you've joined me today.
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, that's a great introduction and thank you very much for that.
I guess just to get us started, can you just sort of tell us a little bit more about you and about your company, what you do and sort of how you got involved with the Chamber?
Sure. So my company is Insights and Solutions Asia. And there's also another part of it called Employee Benefits Asia as well. And we're really a sort of small boutique HR and employee benefits consultancy. Again, like you said, specializing in employee and flexible benefits, wellness. And, we're offering various workshops on wellness, et cetera, financial and mental wellness programs. And the good thing about us is we are actually independent and we can partner or work with, you know, brokers, insurers, or healthcare providers as well on behalf of our clients. And basically we work behind the scenes and we build and develop the flexible benefit systems, you know, creating different programs for employers depending on the demographics of their organization. And on top of that, we sort of build the communication programs to keep these alive throughout the year so that employers have the right type of benefits at the right time and they're already planning for the future changes in those benefits as well. You asked a question about me, you know, how did I get involved with the Chamber? I've been in Singapore 12 years and it took me some time to get involved with the Chamber, you know, because from experience before, I really wasn't sure how I could benefit from working with the Chamber. And then quite a few sources actually told me that, you know, the British Chamber was one of the most proactive and involved chambers in Singapore and that it's really worth my while to join. So I took them up on that and joined and then I became part of the Small Business Committee. And now that I'm on that committee, I've now witnessed that, you know, firsthand what the Chamber do. And they're very responsive and hands-on. And I've been a member of the Small Business Committee for around 2.5 years now. And we focus on different areas impacting small businesses. And we hopefully we share that out with the rest of the small businesses as well. But it's done as a group. And we hit issues head on. And again, with the support of the Chamber.
It's a great network, isn't it? It's great to see smaller businesses and how they operate. And certainly from my perspective, it sort of gives a really important lens to some of the challenges that we might not necessarily see on a daily basis when we're talking to some of the big corporates. And it's really sort of what are the real challenges running a smaller business here? And then we try and translate that into narrative back to the government as well. So it's brilliant that you're involved with that.
No, it's great. And I really, really enjoy it. And the team on the committee are great as well, because they do raise a lot of things that I was never aware of. And then the committee does come in and, you know, we've had the training on the new compass system and different things like that. So it really helps. So it's really helping us pull together as a team. So it's great work.
Super. So our business sentiment survey came out last week. Two of the top three challenges were retaining and attracting talent into businesses. What do you sort of see from your clients and the lens that you have in terms of some of the challenges that small businesses are facing? Are those two of the things that you're also resonating with?
Yes, they are. They are, definitely. I think I would say there's ways that, you know, there's things that can actually be done to sort of, I would say that in terms of staff retention, you know, it's, I think a lot of it started for SMEs back when COVID hit. And that was a really difficult time. And if you remember, even back into January of 22 in Singapore, there was up to around 45% of people looking to move jobs or move roles. And in fact, a lot of those people actually did that. And if you think about it, a lot moved for to a larger company, maybe to the same for the same salary, and maybe for some more benefits. And this is something that's come out through a lot of surveys, in fact, that you know, employees want to feel valued. They want to be kept up to date. They want to know and be communicated to by their employers. And they need that training for future so that they've got the skill sets to grow as well. So it's crucial for small businesses to sort of look at those benefits. But I find in the market there are a lot feel that they're very expensive and they don't even pursue that route, when in actual fact, you know, it's, they should take a step back. I mean, they can come and talk to us or, you know, other, they can talk to some brokers, etc. But the fact is that employee benefits don't have to cost a lot. And when I'm looking at incentive programs, sales programs that a lot of the SMEs are offering, they're offering, you know, maybe $1,500 a year, when they could actually use a lot of that to cover employee benefits or flexible benefits at the same point. And then, of course, Skills Future links into this as well, because through Skills Future, there's a lot of programs there that can help people develop the skills. These are a lot of the ways to sort of retain employees. One last thing I would say, David, is if people are looking to retain employees, one of the key things that I always do is I conduct a stay interview. And a stay interview is a structured interview with key individuals that you don't want to lose. You ask them a series of questions, and basically it's, you know, what's working in the company, what's not, what's causing them problems, how can it be resolved, you know, how can the company work together better. And basically it does put a lot of it's taking time from the CEO to meet with those individuals, but those individuals feel a lot more important that the CEO, et cetera, is taking time out to spend time with them, to ask them what the problems are and see if they can resolve them. Because sometimes a small problem is a big problem to an employee.
Oh, brilliant. A stay interview. A great sort of a pressing pause with your key staff to, like you say, work out what's going well, what's not going so well, what you can fix and collectively fix and keep people involved in the business.
Correct. It does. That's exactly what it does. And especially as CEOs are juggling all the different hats that they've got for all the different roles, this does really help. And sometimes it sorts out some basic problems of maybe people who are causing issues or suppliers or even a process that's within the business that can be resolved quite quick. So it's really, really crucial. And it helps that communication between the CEO and the employees as well.
Really interesting. One of the things that keeps coming up in the committee, and I find this fascinating because I've never worked for a big brand. I've never worked for an MNC in my career. I've always worked for smaller. I think the largest was probably about 65, 70 people was probably the largest. Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes we can look at the big brands on your CV and your business card and your career progression and the support that those MNCs can provide graduates coming into the marketplace. But I think your testament, and hopefully I've sort of learned through my career as well, that you don't need to work for a huge organization or a big brand to build a really, really interesting career. And so it's really interesting about this retention piece, because you can build an amazing career with a smaller business, with an SME, and get just as much value and learning and freedom and autonomy, and you can scale quite quickly, I think, in smaller businesses that are growing. So what sort of options are available to smaller employers to help maintain their good people?
To maintain the good people. So again, I would actually go back to the value, how employees actually feel valued. And to me, that's really, you know, with the CEO, et cetera, they will get more, with an SME, they'll probably get more value out of the role because they're involved in so many things, maybe different projects, et cetera. But it's to keep that alive for the employees as well. So one, if we box it, it's employee benefits, you know, maybe health benefits, that your medical and life insurance, things like that. It doesn't cost as much as a lot of SMEs think, so they tend to stay clear of that. But that shows a commitment to the employees by actually investing in those benefits as well. And then again, a training plan, if there's a structured training program so that those individuals can actually learn those skills that's required, and or they can actually grow those individuals into and perhaps another role that may come up in the future, that is really crucial for sort of SMEs as well. And you know, there's things like flexible working. So even when I talk about flexible benefits, flexible working encompasses the whole benefits sort of solution. So having all of those benefits for SMEs doesn't have to cost a fortune. It can actually be kept simple, it's robust. And, you know, with different systems, like a flexible benefit system, the costs aren't astronomical either, and all of the administration, etc., can actually be done through that as well, saving time for the CEO, because it can all link to their HR payroll provider, and everything is actually done through them. So it takes that you know, nightmare of the administration away from the CEO at the same point.
Oh, fabulous. A really silly question. What sort of employee benefits are out there? What sort of packages are you putting together for organizations? And what's really popular? What's really popular with the employer, and what's really popular with your employee?
Yeah, actually, that's a key question, David, because what I find is a lot of companies tend to decide on the employee benefits for their employees. Right. So they make an assumption that their employees want this type of benefit. But if you look at the demographics of an organization, we've now got, you know, we've got five generations in the workplace just now, sixth generation about to join. And probably in other countries, the sixth generation has already joined, you know, because there's no national service, if you take, for instance, the UK. But in Singapore, there's national service. So but still, sixth generation of people can actually start joining the business. So benefits have to be tailored to, you know, the age group of the organization. And that's where flexible benefits can help. So in terms of benefits, companies are looking at life insurance, medical benefits, like your GP visits, specialists and hospitalization. Again, these don't have to cost an arm and a leg. There's programs for Singapore. There's programs which actually offer international cover. So, you know, there's various programs there. And the other thing is a reward system, which can actually be encompassed in the flexible benefits system. So it's where, and if an employee reaches a target goal, or if someone reaches a sales goal, then the employer can actually put a set amount of money into the flexible benefits system, and the employees can actually purchase something from like a marketplace, and it's real time. So they can get the voucher immediately, they can buy the product immediately. So it's a great way of incentivizing employees as well. And again, it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. Yeah.
What's most popular that you're seeing at the moment? Is it, I mean, you've described the different generations, it's a really good point, actually. You made me think about that. But what are companies tending to sort of look at, and what's going to come up on the horizon?
So companies are tending to look at, ever since COVID, there's been a huge focus on family benefits. So a lot of companies are actually looking at that. So we saw big increases in like pet insurance, different things like that, you know, for employees. But usually it's where flexible benefits is great is it comes in and it's like a cafeteria of benefits. So you add on your basic core benefits like your medical and life insurance cover, but you may offer gym membership, you may offer a pot of money where the employee can actually dip into and go for a health checkup. They can maybe send a family member for a health checkup. They can actually purchase some travel for themselves. They can buy a new bicycle for themselves, maybe a new iPad. These different things are sort of quite popular just now, but a lot of it's linking into the family benefits, because once people know that they can cover their family as well, again, that links back to retention for employees. So that's most popular at this moment. And it's usually done through a flexible benefit account, which is like a bank account. So a pot of money goes into that and the employees can utilize that for things, items throughout the year. So again, it keeps the benefits alive.
Why do companies in your experience typically struggle to do this? Because it sounds great.
Yeah, so depending on the level of benefits you want to offer, it can be quite costly. And but again, one of the biggest problems is a company deciding that they decide on what type of benefits the employees will have. Yeah, so I've seen organizations where they've offered the top level of benefits. In fact, there was one organization who purchased gym membership for every single employee. And they had about 1,500 employees, but the gym was next door to the office. Now, when we investigated, there was 3 people using the gym. But why? And the HR asked me this question, my gosh, we give this benefit, it's so costly, but you were giving it to everyone. This is a health benefit, it's wellness. But the fact of the matter is when it boiled down to it, people wanted to go and purchase the relevant exercise that was suitable to them. So maybe yoga, maybe a gym nearer home. And a lot of people responded that they didn't want to see their boss in the gym or another colleague in the gym sweating beside them, different things like that, or in the changing rooms. You know, they didn't want to go at lunchtime to see colleagues they just had a meeting with sweating beside them. So these are things companies have to think about, and they have to include their employees in the sort of decision making. And that's where we can help. We can come in and we can talk and say, hey, you've got this demographic, you've got this type of workforce, you know, because you have to look at both the demographics and the type of workforce, because if you're looking at a relatively young workforce, do they all play computer games? Do they all do, you know, whatever? Are they all into yoga? Maybe not. So that's why you have to do a short survey or group meetings just to understand what they're looking for, what would motivate them and what would keep them going. And by doing that as well, it's also a comprehensive sort of retention tool at the same point.
Super. Have you got any examples of where you've really seen this work well and how it's helped with retention?
Yeah, I have. I've actually got quite a few examples. So I would probably say there's one company who came to me and said, okay, we offer, and this is an SME, we offer $1,000 a year. We give employees to spend on, you know, like anything they want to spend or anything like that. We give them some personal development time and we give them flexible working. So this company had only 22 employees. And when I actually went, and they had maybe employees, I think there was 10 people that had been there for maybe 2 years. For some reason, a group of 10 employees constantly turned over. And after going in, talking to them and building a flexible benefits system, a simple one, we offered benefits for the employees, but also gave the employees the opportunity to purchase benefits for their family. So because the company couldn't afford to purchase the medical for like 4 children and a spouse, the employee was given just a certain amount of money, but they could use their own money to go in and purchase those benefits. And that actually helped retain people as well. And again, because we worked with the company direct and the individuals, it worked exceptionally well. So retention is down. Still got a couple of people moving around. And so we're still working on different things. But in fact, it's made a huge difference to the HR CEO, because all of the claims that come through are actually processed immediately through a TPA, and that's all part of the process. So it takes that burden away from them. They don't, even when they're setting up a new employee, they just send the details to the provider and they're automatically uploaded and they liaise with the employee. So there's nothing needing to be done for, you know, for HR as well. And again, they keep it alive throughout the year by communicating regularly with the employees as well. So it's great.
Just while you're talking, I'm just thinking about micro businesses and small on the start and the startup scene that's so rich here in Singapore. And they might not grow and scale quickly, but they still want to sort of retain their staff. And they might have other levers to pull, like equity shares into growing business, things like that. But if you're a smaller business with, say, I don't know, 5, 10, 15, 20 employees, and you might not necessarily be able to afford to put on a big package available to your employees, are there other options available in the market space? Is there sort of like a mutual agreement where we can lump loads of small businesses together so they get the economies of scale? How does that work?
So that's something that I've developed a few times in different companies. So it's it works on... start again. So yes, there is something that companies can actually look at. Some brokers actually offer a portfolio rated product, and what that portfolio rated product does is it takes SMEs and it groups the SMEs together into like one company. Everything, all data protection, etc., is all covered separately, and all the companies are dealt with separately. However, as a group, this broker can actually go to the insurance company and sell the group of SMEs as an MNC. And that means that they get cheaper rates, they get cheaper, bigger products, basically better products, and they can cover more people and sometimes even their family members at cheaper costs. So this is a great thing that it's out there. And again, we can help people with that to find the right provider and the right system that actually works with them and for that. I think there's maybe 4 or 5 different portfolio rated products in the market in Singapore. But again, you know, it's got to be the right one. Again, it's worth deciding looking at what benefits are actually on there and available. Because some don't offer life cover, some do offer life cover, some offer basic medical, and some offer, you know, higher medical at cheaper costs than the others offer basic medical. So it's really worth shopping around to try and find out what's best for your organization that way. And they cover for 2 employees upwards, so it's great.
Oh, that is flexible for the smaller micro businesses, the startup scene as well.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, it's probably good to, some are actually offering all of the business insurance as well. So like your WICA, your personal indemnity, different things like that, and all grouped into the same, through the same broker, etc. as well. So that's great for a small business. So they can renew everything at the same time every year, and they don't have to renew all this separately at different times of the year. So it takes away that administration burden as well.
When you're talking to companies, Steve, I know sort of your background, you've worked with some pretty large multinational corporates, right? Do the benefits packages that they offer in Singapore or regionally or locally differ from their global offer? How does that work? So if I'm HR and I'm running a unit here and I want to do more for my employees, we might have a retention challenge here that might not be sort of witnessed in other markets. Yeah. Do you see how that sort of works and how that sort of all joins up sort of globally?
Yeah, a lot of the larger companies like to do like a benefits review. So they like to make sure that they review the benefits globally to make sure that they're offering out the same sort of packages. However, you know, there are major differences in Singapore. So salaries tend to be higher in Singapore, for instance, because there's lower tax to pay. So if you compare that, it might not be a good thing to sort of compare that the benefits to the UK. So there's different challenges. But if you're looking at Hong Kong and Singapore, a lot of companies sort of compare what the offerings are there. And I would say a lot of companies tend to go for, maybe they'll use one broker if it's a larger organization. And again, it's like, you know, can they portfolio rate those sort of products and get cheaper costs that can be split across the globe? That's what a lot tend to do. But now I'm finding that a lot more companies are even looking more locally. So they want that sort of the global presence, but they want a local attention and a local personalization of the benefits to suit the individuals. Because what works in America might not work in Singapore and so on and so forth. And that's why it's really crucial. So it's look global, but go local is the best way that they're actually doing it.
Oh, it's great. It's been a really fascinating conversation, Steve. And I think, you know, moving back to the SME market here, I mean, I think SME is responsible for 70% of the local workforce employment. So it's a big proportion of companies. Have you got sort of your top two or three takeaways for small businesses in how they retain and develop their staff?
Yeah, one is a key one, again, that I said at the beginning, is use the stay interviews. I find that really key. You find a lot of information out, and there's a lot of surprises that do come out of that. And some simple things that you can actually work on. So stay interviews, definitely. And you would always start with your key people that you're worried about maybe leaving. That's my top. And then the second thing is look, you know, look at your costs. You know, what can you afford to spend on your employees to incentivize them, etc. Take that cost and then talk to someone. You can talk to, you know, us, you can talk to your broker, etc., and see what would be the best benefits and program for you, which does include maybe rewards, you know, incentives from a marketplace, etc. And that way you can get them tailored to suit your business. So it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. But remember that there's various benefits out there, like your flexible working, etc., that you're offering that a lot of companies forget about, because that's a huge thing. So that's what I would say. Look at your demographics of your organization and the benefits you're offering and how you're incentivizing your people. I think that would be, you know, bring it all back to cost, and then someone, believe me, like myself, could come in and redesign your benefits and give you recommendations of where you should be taking it.
Steve, brilliant to talk to you today. Thank you for unpicking some of those challenges for smaller businesses. Certainly a lot for people to think about. And look forward to helping to drive our SCSB committee with yourself going forward as well, and supporting our smaller business members within our network. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, David. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, and why not leave us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple, Google, and the other podcast platforms. For more information about the Chamber, please visit our website at www.britcham.org.sg, and tune in next time for a brand new episode.